anomaly.
I am an anomaly.
Anomaly.
I am an anomaly.
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 Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. I'm Jen. This edition of our show is very different from what we normally do. It's an unedited bonus episode featuring a random fireside chat with friends. I recorded it at the Texas Renaissance Festival in early November of 2018. Because this was recorded on location, you're going to hear a lot of generators in the background. Generators are little portable electricity producers for campers. The English would call them caravans. And they're parked all around our camp. And none of us use them, but there's this constant buzz in the background, which you're going to hear in the recording. And we're passing around a field recorder. So from time to time, someone will be quiet, and I tried to turn them up in the recording, and then they'll get loud and soft and quiet, and you're going to hear people cheering in the background and things like that. It's super loud at RenFest in the campgrounds. It's part of the atmosphere, and maybe it'll give you a taste of what it's like to camp there. The Texas Renaissance Festival, which we often refer to on the show as TREN, RenFest, or TRF, is an annual fair located in Todd Mission, Texas. Where the heck is that? It's about 55 miles northwest of Houston. It started in 1974 and touts itself as the largest Renaissance theme park in the United States. The park sets on 55 acres of land covered in tall pines and beautifully themed areas. Each of the 9 weekends of festival also have a different theme, which influences the performances, costumes, and games throughout the grounds. The Texas Renaissance Festival features about 500 costumed actors, 350 shops, and the Queen's Royal Finale, a spectacular fireworks show at dusk, set to live bagpipe music played by one of my favorite bands, Tartanic. Many people camp in the fields around the Texas Renaissance Festival, including our own ragtag band of anomalies. We have attended every year for over a decade, and every year is always a new adventure. If you have any questions about TRF, feel free to send them our way. We know a lot about the fair, and have covered it in several videos in the past that I'll share in the show notes for this episode over at anomalypodcast.com. That's anomalypodcast.com. Now that you have some background on what the Texas Renaissance Festival is, this episode is less about TREN and more about us in the wild being nerds with our friends. In all the years we've been recording Anomaly, lots of listeners have left iTunes reviews or have sent feedback to the show saying that one of the things they love the most about Anomaly is that we make them feel like they're a part of our conversation, like they're one of our friends sitting next to us talking geek. You are! So with that in mind, I recorded a conversation that we had around our fire at our Texas Renaissance Festival camp. You'll hear Angela and I talk again about our raid group rules within our group of friends. It's a conversation from an old Anomaly episode. I'll link to it in the show notes. Be sure to listen to that one. It was fun, and it will include more information on our theory about real-life raid groups. We also talked about what our roles would be in the Star Trek universe. Our conversations always end up in Star Trek. We're not apologizing. The topic then morphed into a debate whether the Star Trek or Star Wars universe would win if the combined factions each faced each other in an epic battle. The voices you'll hear in this conversation, other than our own, belong to our friends Stephanie, Mark, Dave, Chainmail Dave, not my husband, Brad, and a bit of Sith Jin at the end. This is a crazy, unplug, meandering episode. We hope it's a fun diversion that puts a smile on your face. Be sure to listen to our last episode if you're a fan of Doctor Who and or John Barrowman. And stick around for the end of this episode for some fun Star Trek holiday music from our friend Rick Moyer.
Last year, like, somehow...
No,
I thought I recorded.
I have recorded before.
Because I remember, like, us talking about something, me and Sarah.
But it made it on the show.
Did
I
it?
Thought, yeah.
Okay.
In RenFest past, like, years and years ago.
Okay.
Because we were talking about our favorite movies.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I understand. Interesting. Well, we were talking about games earlier. What I think is really... See, those same two girls...
Yes.
...have been through our camp.
Over and over. That is like a violation of RenFest rules.
I know. They should know better.
You should walk around camps. So, all right. Right now, we're sitting in the camp at RenFest. And we have...
Huzzah!
There's like a...
Hooray!
An unspoken rule that... You walk around camps. You don't go through the middle of
them. And we learned that the hard way.
Yes. But people keep walking through our camps. Amateurs.
Go around, weirdos.
Okay, so what we were talking about earlier was... Like...
Well, we were talking about our rate groups. But
yeah.
It was funny that, like... Well, the four of us had always talked about it. But I was surprised that, like... Some of our other friends had not been in the conversation or had forgotten... I mean, Jim and I have talked about it, and it's funny because Russell always tells me, oh, mommy, you're the tank.
Yes.
So you would think that a child would be like, oh, daddy's the tank.
Well, I feel like this generation of this conversation is really a little bit more us, but where we are a little bit older.
Yes.
But yeah. Us and where we are in relation to how y'all are with your children. I think that makes a difference
true.
In how your perspective is.
But,
and how others see you. And is that, you know, how you are still holding true with how you are with your child.
Well, my son always knows I have his back, so I'm the rogue
I mean, I think, though, that, like, depending on where you are, it does change. Just, like, your role kind of changes depending on where you are. But I think that you have a core truth. And I think my core truth is definitely tank. But I think and we've talked about this before, that, like, people misunderstand that tank is, like, the strongest. Tank is not the strongest. It's just the person who can take the most damage.
Most damage.
And
attracts attention.
It attracts attention and it takes the most damage. And that is why we've landed on me for tank, because even though Stephanie's an obvious choice, Stephanie is but you're a better DPS. Okay. You're stronger. Better DPS.
Explain what DPS is for people who aren't gamers.
Damage per second. That means... Well, how much damage can you do over time? Damage per second. How much your hit counts every time you hit. How hard you hit, when you hit.
And that's going to be the strongest.
Yeah. DPS off tank, I still come back to that. But it's like in my relationship that I have now. And it depends on who I'm with.
Yes.
So like even in the fair. So like Angela and I, we tank, we off tank. Because
we do.
She will tank, I off tank. Whatever...
Yeah,
checks her mouth right so I can cash them.
Yes, she can. I almost got in a fight today.
No, I know. Well, explain how your tank personalities comes into, your everyday reality. How that affects your life, being a tank or a DPS.
Well, sometimes it's not good.
Yeah, sometimes.
Well, like... In the bathroom today at Ren Faire.
Oh,
when
my gosh.
When nobody was, like there's supposed to be
there's
someone...
There's an order.
Wait
there's
your turn
order.
In
there
line.
There is an order to the bathroom situation.
Wait your turn in line.
Yeah.
It's not just the bathroom at the Ren Faire. It's every place
on existence.
GD planet.
And
you
this
wait
girl,
in line.
First of all, a couple other people had gone ahead, but they were so, like, there was a weird discrepancy, so I was like, okay, I guess I get it. But this one girl, it was my turn. It was a legit my turn. And this girl tried to take my stall.
Uh-oh.
And I was, at first, my first thought, like, for a millisecond, I thought to myself, oh my God, I'm just going to let her go. But then I was like, you know what? No. And I looked at her and I said this exact, I said, no way, man. I said, man. I said, no way, man. I have been waiting a lot longer than you. And I pulled that door and I slammed it in her face and I got in.
Because that's what tanks do.
Because, and then, the weirdest part though, and I probably shouldn't say this on the podcast, but, like, I was so pissed off I, like, couldn't go to the bathroom.
I was gonna sit here talking about.
Because when your adrenaline gets like that, you're in fight or flight mode.
Yeah, yeah.
And your body's like, no, we're fighting, right?
We don't need to pee.
We don't need to pee. We don't need that fight. And it's like, you never know what Angela's going to say. But yeah, that's exactly what happened. And then I got back to the camp and I was relaxed. And then I felt better.
Well, how did DPS support tanks?
So, DPS supports tanks, but in that particular situation, if that lady had said anything to her, I'd be like, ma'am, just back off, back off.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So, and it would have been like, if there needed physically something to happen, it would be like, do we need to get someone else here to take care of the situation, ma'am, or can you just wait your turn?
And that's the thing, is that Stephanie and I spent a lot of time in our lives as tank and off tank.
Yes.
Before we met all you guys. Yeah. So,
times and going to the bars at 19, yes, 18 years old.
But 20, 21, 22, 25.
It's been a while.
We went to Vegas together, too.
That's true.
And we, I mean, that's what we did. Was, and that's the thing, is
it was
take
a natural
care of each
role
other.
We fell into. Yes. I remember being at Studio 54 with Angela, and Angela was like, I don't want to go. This is so boring. We're waiting in line for a club. It's horrible. Because if you've been to 6th Street in Austin, you wait in line to get in clubs. You just get in the clubs most of the time. Well,
yeah,
that was our experience, at least.
In Vegas,
in our,
you have
in
to
our
wait
youth.
In line.
And in Vegas, we had to wait in line because that was the place to be on that particular night. And she was like, I was like, you were going to have fun and you're going
to
enjoy yourself and you're
going
to stand here with
she
us until we
had
fun. And you know what? We had a blast.
We had so much fun. And we looked so cute.
We did. We were so cute.
Oh, that was so much fun.
See, like, I would have tripped the girl on the way to the stall. That's how.
Accidentally or on purpose?
On purpose. That's the way rogues roll. Like, I wouldn't have said, hey, chick, stand in line.
You just would have been action girl.
I would have, like, just tripped her on the way.
But see, I was also thinking, it's not just about her. It's about all the other people who are trying to cut in line. I was trying to send a message
to the whole group.
To the whole group.
Which is funny, because before this incident happened, at the very beginning of the morning, before Angela had had this
thing,
we were in the restroom again, and the long line of ladies and the people who are in the bathroom who are like trying to help organize that are encouraging everyone to go to the back where the last toilet is. So as like toilet number one opens, someone in the middle line jumps in and I'm like,
no.
And so I'm standing in the middle, and yes, I'm kind of in line for the bathroom, and I was like, number one is open, who's going to one? You're next, get there. Number five is open, go to five, it just came out.
That's how
seven,
we
go.
There
and,
you go.
And I'm standing out there, and I'm immediately orchestrating where the people who are working there are like, oh, this lady's like,
they deferred
out
to
there.
You.
Yes, they did. And
well,
that, is, that is one of the
things. Challenging your authority.
So that right there became
that was
like.
Wrong.
Yeah, that was wrong. She should have backed off.
She should have backed off.
It's okay. My voice will be longer and louder and it'll happen. She'll understand Alpha in this one. But, you know,
yeah,
I can't take
we
responsibility for the whole
they
world.
Like,
but
luckily, though, it was just that one because all of the other. It was easy everywhere else.
It was easy everywhere else. That was no big deal. But it was funny that we both had bathroom incidences where we showed our
tank qualities.
Taking off, take.
Well, and it's also about because you're drawing attention so that the people who just want to just go.
Mm-hmm.
That's what being the tank is about, is drawing the attention of the people who are a threat to you, so that the people, other people in your
who
group
just need their just fair
their,
turn to go pee.
Yes, because not everyone has that ability or desire to be the center of attention.
Some people will grumble about it. Some people will complain about it later.
And some people will just be like,
passive-aggressively.
Okay.
And some people just
and then
take
they never
it.
Get to go to the bathroom. Who wants to be that person?
No.
We help those people.
Yes, we
yes,
do.
Yes, you do.
Anyway, how are you a rogue?
Besides going pee at the
red bear. I already said I tripped her on the way to the car.
No, but how are you a rogue today that
how
actually happened? Did you rogue today or recently in life?
Well, we had a couple of people engage us who were drunk, and we didn't want to...
Side boob,
and drunk boy who was wearing, like, the Halloween costume night.
Oh,
costume.
Yeah.
So, I purposely don't make eye contact, because I don't want to engage.
Well, you don't want them
to
see.
I back off into the shadows, into the corner, and then, like, David, who is a tank, or berserker, he's, like, in there interacting with them, like, what are you doing, man? Back off!
They're quiet! Stop talking!
There's a corner! There's a corner right here! Get in it! That's how I roll today.
Oh, I see that. Some
look away, look away.
Well, like, last night, observation. The rogue was tired. She went to bed.
Yes.
The berserker got to be a little berserker around the bonfire with the people he doesn't see as often. So he got to be like a little bit noisy, fun, and loudy and stuff. But.
Good for him. I came into this world accidentally with my own personal bard.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he's in the corner of their plane.
When you said came into this world with you accidentally, that made me have some really weird thoughts about your parents, who I know very much probably planned you. So,
they
but
did
I know
plan me.
About.
No, I'm talking about, like, I came into the camp accidentally several years ago. I found Jim, and Jim is my own personal bar.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have my,
That's which is great, because right you need buffs. When you need buffs, you gotta have a bar.
Yeah.
Huzzah!
Huzzah!
Huzzah! The campsite!
Jen entered the camp.
Jen.
Hello, the camp.
Hello, the camp.
Yes.
Yeah, sometimes the healer needs taking care of, and in this particular situation, our healer needed some taking care of.
Yeah.
What about our, like, neutral chaotic?
Hey, what is that called? It's not a class. Alignment.
Thank you.
So, we can talk about alignment.
Yes.
Alignment. I have always considered myself, honestly, a true neutral, but I don't think that's true. I think that I am a chaotic good.
I agree.
Neutral
I
good.
Agree.
You think I'm a neutral
I'm
good?
Neutral
good. No, I think I'm a chaotic
Mark,
good.
Our friend Mark is neutral good. You're chaotic good. Angel's chaotic good.
I think
good.
I'm a chaotic good. I think Bart is a chaotic neutral.
I
he's not evil.
Brad's
but
chaotic.
Chaotic neutral.
Brad's chaotic evil.
What are you, though? Chaotic.
Yes. I don't know. What am I?
You're good.
I am good.
Neutral good.
Absolutely.
I might be a chaotic good, too.
I'm not chaotic good. I do like order more, and I'm not neutral good. Because
you're neutral good.
She's not lawful.
I'm a neutral good. I'm not lawful. Lawful evil is Darth Vader.
That's
sorry.
We're not saying that you're lawful.
Lawful good is Captain America.
Lawful good is Captain America. Lawful evil is Darth Vader.
I definitely have settled on chaotic good.
What am I? Because I don't think I always follow the letter of the law.
You're
a lawful good.
I can't follow the letter of the law, though, because I sometimes go against
law. But you are more letter of the law than anyone else in this group.
You really are.
You are more. You follow the letter of the law more than anyone else in this group. You may be a rogue, but you are lawful good.
Damn it!
You are.
Lawful good. There's nothing wrong with lawful good.
That's okay.
I might be unlawful good.
David might be lawful good, too.
Unlawful good because I do not follow the letter of the law. I speak.
No, but you don't go out of your way to break.
You and I, yeah, but
I ask forgiveness, not permission.
We can be chaotic good.
All right, fine.
Together.
All right. Like if no one's looking, it's okay to break to not stop for the stop sign.
And Brad is. He's take off tank with me. When he and I are together, it's a matter of I'm more tank and he's off tank at that point.
That's fair.
Yeah, Dave is a berserker.
He heals me.
Yeah,
he is.
Yeah, that's why I have my own
berserker.
Bard.
You have a bard, yeah.
But he's also a healer.
Yes, that's true.
But Brad is chaotic evil because when we were very first cosplaying,
wow,
Jedi,
that's like a whole thing.
And Comic Con, and we're sitting there,
and
he did. We're sitting there, we're battling with our lightsabers, and we're having fun, both dressed as Jedi. And he turns, and he. Force killed an innocent bystander. It's like, ha, 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 ha.
And so I was an innocent like, chick dressed in her Star Wars stuff, and I was like, psst. She was like, oh, and she's like, oh, you killed someone. I was like, then this other little girl like comes at me, and I'm like, ah,
that's a chaotic neutral.
Yeah,
I just killed an innocent.
He dresses as a Jedi, but he is
battle.
Sith.
That's
he's
Mal.
Killed.
That's yeah, Mal. That's a chaotic neutral.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah.
Fine. Chaotic evil.
What are you, Dave?
David is good. I would say like a neutral good.
Neutral good?
It says that lawful characters tell the truth, keep their word, respect
there was also,
honor tradition,
also very sad
those who fall short of their duties. Chaotic characters follow their consciences, resent being told what to do, favor new ideas over tradition, and do what they promise if they feel like it.
I'm in between lawful and chaotic.
Well,
then
neutral.
Yeah, what is
that? Neutral good.
Neutral good. But I'm not good, I'm neutral.
Yeah, you're in true neutral.
Right.
Chaotic neutral doesn't really care much about it.
No, that's just super old.
So that'd be a neutral.
I hate being told what to do.
So do I.
I think maybe you're a neutral good.
I think so, too.
Okay, you can be a neutral
good. Because I go either way. Because sometimes I go against the law. because I don't believe in what they say. That's
your judging those who fall short.
Yes.
That would make you
waffle.
I really like to judge people, though.
You do.
I very much enjoy that.
I enjoy judging, too.
I like to judge people.
I think that just comes with time.
I don't judge them. I prejudge them. And as long as you live up to my expectations, everything's fine.
That's awesome. Oh, well, God. So we were expanding our raid group idea because we have more than just the four of us.
Yeah.
And we have more tanks. We have more DPS.
Tanks are always necessary.
Yeah. Well, you go from just... Because a raid group is actually a giant group. And that's who we all are. We are more like a...
Extended.
The four of us is just a traveling party, really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then our big group...
Raid group.
...is our actual raid group. We have a combination, but it's still a very balanced combination. Right?
Yes, I agree.
People play different roles.
Right, and we were talking to Mark earlier. Mark is also one of our leaders. As far as I'm concerned. And because I said that, it's true.
Tank.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Mark, what are you?
Honestly, I've been DPS most of the time, but it's very easy to switch gears when people need something done. So that's yep. what you do.
Mark is like a general, like, I feel like you have always been there. When anyone needs anything,
mm-hmm.
you will be there. We don't see you on every outing and every time we do stuff, but it's like, this is that guaranteed time Mark will be there. He will.
Yep.
We will see him. Mark and Margaret.
And I'm so glad for that.
And it's like, talk about like the always prepared. We can sign up for things in our website ahead of time of who's going to bring what.
And I really try very hard to make sure.
And Mark is like, I'm here before anybody else, and I've got everything. Anyone needs the thing.
Well, and we know that like that one year you guys didn't come, we were all like, ah! Who's bringing the things? I have to bring something. Who's making coffee? Why is there no coffee? But I got heels from Dave today.
How's that? What happened?
I got a little too close to a fire and I got burned. I'm okay.
That's right.
But I got some heels, so I'm alright.
And it's funny because Dave offered healing, Duchesne offered healing, and the Jin offered healing. So we had like boom, 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 boom. So that's part of what the raid group does. It may not be your main job, but you know, you pick up the slack if you're needed.
That's really true.
Obviously, the rogue was nowhere to be found.
Exactly. You, I don't remember
shadow
you at all.
You
know, like, shadow hide.
So, and like I was, you know, we were talking about Margaret earlier. Margaret being Mark's partner in life is
partner.
Like, yeah,
sorry.
Well, partner.
It's
wife,
true, wife.
Sorry, but yeah, but I was thinking like in the raid group partners is I guess
that's what yes, that's fair.
So that Margaret is like I said, I was like she's like rogue. Because
yes.
Margaret is like rogue extraordinaire when she plays, but I was like, you know, you cannot find Margaret when she doesn't have a book in her hand, and she can function in most any occupation while reading as well. And so I was like, gosh, I could see Margaret as like the warlock, like that.
Oh yeah.
Oh, don't look close at her. You're like, oh my god, why am I dying? Oh, Margaret. God damn it, she got me.
She turned me into a toad.
Yes. So, but she's very quiet, very sneaky. Except, so like, don't
I like that?
Her. So yes, absolutely rogue. But I'm like, you know, the evil bag of tricks. Absolutely.
I can see that.
So in the best of ways.
But that's why it works with all of us crazy makers in the front.
So speak of, you know, crazy makers in the front, and then you have Carissa. Sweet, innocent Carissa. Oh, no.
Rogue. She's also a rogue.
Yeah.
Why do we have so many rogues?
You need us.
No, when I see Carissa, she might be rogue, but I also see a little bit of, like, distance. I get the ranger she does.
Oh,
no,
ranger.
She will not be the front row at all.
No.
But my gosh, have you ever seen that woman dress? It's those golds, the fall greens, the colors she mm-hmm. wears all the time. Occasionally she gets into the red, the burgundy red. But she goes with the goldenrod like no one I've ever seen. And she will definitely zinger Bart even. But
good.
only when she puts him in his place, and it's typically not right in his face. Not something necessarily done in front of everyone, but boom, she can do damage from a distance. So, which I consider a subtle art.
That's true.
Because even I'm not aware of all of her skills. I've heard about them.
Well, we shouldn't be. That's kind of not our business. Our business is just to take all of the aggro. So that everybody else can do what they need to do.
But Margaret drew aggro today with the guy that was telling you about. Like, I blended in the shadows. Like, I was like, okay.
Which guy was this?
There's a drunk guy that came up to us.
Drunk guy and side boob. That's
yeah.
What she said.
Oh, side boob!
Side boob and drunk guy. They came
I couldn't stop looking at it!
He was like, you dropped your pocket to Dave. And Dave was like, what?
She came back after you left.
Yeah, David dropped.
Oh!
Yeah.
Side boob.
Both of those guys. Dave and Margaret drew aggro. At the... What's the name of the pub we met at?
Prince Wales.
The
yeah.
Prince of Wales.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He just came up, and I was like, you made eye contact. Do not make eye contact.
Do not engage.
Do not engage.
Yeah. And I engage.
You always do.
Not always. I've gotten better.
Yeah, David kept talking
That's
to him.
That's the problem.
Like, ignore.
Is that the high DPS people engage when they shouldn't.
David always talks back.
Tanks,
I just ignore.
Tanks know better.
They lose interest and they walk away if you don't talk back.
That's true. But sometimes you stare blankly at people and it's off-putting.
Just like, you're not talking to me, right? I am invisible. You cannot see me.
You can't see me.
Intimidate them and they'll leave me alone.
Yeah,
see, but you have that option. We don't have that option.
The staring down.
Dave has a really good blank stare, too, though.
That's true. No, it's the smirk.
I look
the eye.
Too
it's
friendly.
Like, do I?
I look very friendly.
Tanks have that quality, though.
We do. I look very friendly. I'm not.
Maybe that was David's thing, because he's a tank also.
Wait,
is a berserker a tank?
Yeah, kind of. Well, a berserker's more DPS.
Aaron is a berserker, too.
That's more DPS, but they can kind of... It's an off tank.
I can definitely see that your son would...
Yeah, berserker.
Aaron is also, my sister's a berserker, also.
I consider my sister a berserker. Yeah. She's kind of a healer, too. I don't know. I go back and forth on my sister.
Yeah.
Your sister's a hunter.
Yeah. She's
literally an animal
a bow hunter.
And she's also an animal keeper.
Yeah, she is. Like, that
she will sick her animals on you.
Dude, she turned her husband's own hunting dogs against him at her will when she wants to. They listen to her more than they listen to him.
I believe that.
Yeah.
That's her power.
Yeah, she's like got the cats and the dogs all living together in their small little house, and they listen to her, all of them. Listen to
her. I believe that. I have known her since she was a little bitty baby.
Yeah, she was the child that when she was a toddler, she went to, like, the park and the squirrels were eating out of her hand.
Yeah, I mean, she was always like that.
The not tame squirrels. Just
No, just the squirrels. I know, I remember that.
Yeah, that's... She's an animal whisperer in her own way.
She's...
And Brad's a dog whisperer. He gets along with all the dogs, so...
Not me.
I command plants.
You do command plants,
yes, yeah.
Which brings me to the next thing,
what?
Which is we were talking about...
Rogan poisons.
I dazzled you today with our Star Trek conversation.
Yes, we were talking about what jobs we would have in Starfleet.
Like, if we were actually in the Starfleet universe.
I would be in the red shirt for fun.
No,
we're talking about for real.
Security, yeah.
And
security.
We're in TNG kind of era.
Yeah. That's red shirt in the original.
That's what I was going to say, red shirt in the original. And Orville, I love the security detail in Orville.
Security would be great.
You would
be great at security. I would definitely want to have a command. Maybe I would be operations.
Yes.
I wouldn't mind that. Because people in command are always very annoying. So I would probably prefer to be in operations or engineering, actually. Anyway. But I dazzled you. What did I say?
I was lightning.
You gave me a messenger bag, which was medical blue.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, this is so awesome. I love it. And you were like, well, I already made my decision on what you would be in the Star Trek universe. Because I was like...
Well, you said you don't think you could be a scientist.
Like, if I was medical officer, I would just be passing instruments to the chief medical officer during surgery.
Yes.
Because I have no medical skill.
Right.
I was like, what would I be in the science if I was in science? What would I be? And I did study archaeology in college, so there's that. But Angela's like...
You wouldn't
want
this.
I know.
She'd be terraforming.
I told her she would be terraforming. And I think in that in that universe, that's exactly what you would be doing.
That's exactly what I would be doing, because I am a plant master.
You are a plant master, and I think you could make, if that technology existed, that you would be able to make plants grow from nothing.
I'd be in charge
of
people terraforming. That was my thing.
I think that'd be great.
Because I definitely see that, because you see in all the different Star Trek shows, the scientists involved in terraforming are kind of like side characters in the side shows.
No.
They don't have a main role.
But in the
the doctor actually is a main role. Like,
you don't want
to be in the front scene. You don't want to be in the spotlight, and he is put in the spotlight a lot.
I kind of do. That's the weird
thing.
But
if we did
though.
Do a show about the terraforming, then Jen would be in it. But, like, let's pretend just that, like, the whole universe exists, right?
Yeah.
That's the whole point of this, like, exercise.
Yeah, in a real world.
So where would you be in that universe? And the thing is that, like, I mean, I think you're right. I don't know that I'd be in command as much of as operations.
Like, if you want to go discovery.
Maybe I'd be an excellent chief.
You would be an awesome, in Data's role on the Enterprise, kind of.
Oh, yeah!
Because Data was in ops.
Yes! Oh, I want to be in ops.
Like,
even though red's my favorite color, I think ops would be good for me.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
I would be in charge, no matter what, whether I was like in science or what. I'd be in charge of the other scientists.
You're in charge.
I do think Stephanie would be.
I like collecting people.
I think Stephanie would be a good security officer.
You would.
Anyway, sparkly.
So, and we also did deflection, and I totally got in. But the point being, because I didn't want to go back to the campsite and drop it off. The point being that I've actually been told by people who know me not as well in the Ren Faire that I wouldn't. It wouldn't be you if you didn't have a weapon on you somewhere, Stephanie.
That's true.
Well, you know, I typically will carry a short sword, sometimes a flail, even if it's a bunny fur flail, but it
That's
doesn't
my
matter.
Point. Security.
So there's the one that you see, and then there's the knowledge
Tasha
that you know you can kill people with.
Mark, you're a Picard.
And the only reason why is because where I excel is basically coming up with procedures.
Yeah.
And
I like
systems.
That
trying to help people get things done.
I like that.
Yeah. And we all naturally follow your orders.
Nope.
We do.
It's because they don't feel like orders.
Because we love you. It's like everyone
And
loves
I'm the only
car.
Person that does not see this at all.
That's why you should be.
Yeah. That's right. Why it's a Picard kind of situation.
Yes.
Yeah.
You deserve it.
That's why I could be number one.
What about Dave?
I'll be your number one.
Okay.
Dave? What do you think? What position would you be on a Starfleet vessel?
In command.
In command?
I'm
number
Leo.
One?
Yeah, probably number one.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. I see it. I can see it.
Commando.
But do you throw your... Here's the real question. Can you throw your leg over a chair when you sit down?
Right.
Do you
That's the only way you can be Riker.
So that's like... It's Iron Wolf David, and then Dave, and then there's, like, your husband, David, too.
There's only two Daves.
Or engineering. He could
well,
fix
Jim
anything.
Would be... My husband would be engineering.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's Geordi all the way.
That's true.
And he just wants to be in the engine. He doesn't care about anything else that's going on. He just wants to work on it. He just wants to work on the problem. That's it.
That's true.
That's it. Yeah, oh, that's definitely... That's definitely Jim.
I think Dave would be... Even though Dave can fix anything, he probably would be a technician of some sort or security.
He could be he could be Dave in the brig. He's war. But no, do you remember that the joke about Dave on the brig?
No, what?
Because there's always that guy whenever there's like a brig episode where somebody's in the brig.
Oh,
there's always a guy like at the control. Who is that guy?
Oh, that guy.
Who's that guy?
Standing there.
There's a guy standing
like,
there in the brig.
That's a really poor job.
Somebody has a job there. That's Dave in the brig.
Chief O'Brien. He's the Chief O'Brien of our group.
Who is?
Dave.
Oh, okay, Dave could be Chief O'Brien. I'm cool with that.
O'Brien.
That's cool.
Yeah. I was thinking about Brad.
He's tactical.
He would probably be on the computer somewhere. But I like
he could be in engineering with Jim.
There he is. He's like the Will Wheaton.
Thank you.
Sorry, <Yeah, laughs> kid.
Is he Chief Argyle?
Chief Argyle.
Do you remember him? Who came before Jordy? Yeah,
wow, that was I do remember that. But I also remember Miss Adorable Gomez. Do you remember her?
I love her. So what was her name? Was Sonia?
Sonia Gomez.
Yes. What happened?
She's
to
so
her?
Cute.
She died in one of the books I read.
Oh!
They offed her.
Spoiler! That's terrible. We have a doctor, though.
Well, we do.
Jen's our doctor.
Jen is our chief medical officer.
Mm-hmm. Not today. It's cool. So it's gonna
yellow drifted more straight into the TNG universe.
That's how that happens to us. Yes. Every single time.
We never talk about
it. No matter where we start, we always end up in TNG.
Because I kind of see her as a Robert Picardo kind of character.
Who?
You're right.
Who?
She is. She's the doctor.
She's the pissed off doctor.
Yes. Yeah.
He's just slightly just,
too much snark.
Right, you know?
But she's also kind of slightly annoyed that she has to help
doctor.
You.
Yes.
It's like, why can't you solve this yourself? Okay, fine. I'll save your life. Great. You know, I agree.
That's true.
He's great, though.
He is wonderful.
That was... good call, good call.
Yes.
I like it.
Agreed.
She's an emergency medical hologram.
Yep.
And I did have a conversation to bring it like even more full circle. Russell and I have had several fights about who would win Star Trek, Star Wars. And I'm like, Star Trek.
Every time, Star Trek.
And he's like, but what if? And I'm like, Star Trek?
Star Trek.
And he's like, but the Force. And I'm like, Q?
Q.
And he's like, but what if not? And I'm like, no. No. I don't. I'm sorry. And I'm not saying.
Why do we have to fight?
And I said, I'm not saying one's better than the other. I'm just saying, if you want to bring this in, you got to set up your parameters. And if your parameter is the Force, then I get to use Q.
True.
If we get to use Force, I get to use Q. Those are the parameters.
Change. Reality.
So if you don't want to use the Force and you just want to say hand-to-hand combat, we can have that conversation.
I never saw Palpatine zap anybody into the future or an alternate universe.
No.
So.
Nope.
Sorry.
Y'all are picking fights.
Well, no, it's just Russell picking fights with me, which is hilarious. But the thing is he can... But he's studied the Star Wars universe and the ships and everything more than he's...
Yeah.
He doesn't have as much... information about the Star Trek ship. So, but he found that book because we've been moving. He found the book you gave me about all the Star Trek stuff. So he has been reading
it. I think that if you took out the mystic part, the Q and the Force.
Okay,
side,
take that out.
Star Wars.
Oh, please explain. Technology just only.
Technology quantity of ships between the Star Destroyers, the Super Star
Destroyers.
Well,
it's a galactic civilization, so you're probably right.
Let's look at Star Trek. It's based on exploration of the universe, not on conquering or battles, where Star Wars is based on...
conquering and battles.
Conquering,
yeah, you're right.
Fighting.
Well,
I mean, it's not supposed to be that way, because it's about the rebels and the
But if you're taking
Empire.
Full universe against full universe, you have to consider Romulans, Klingons, Borg.
But, yeah. But if you went just the Empire versus one faction.
Okay.
I would love to see the Empire go against the Borg.
That would be interesting.
That would be interesting, Russell.
Never bring a knife to a gunfight.
Yeah!
That's just not going to work.
But it also kind of depends on, like, which version Borg, right? Because, like, I kind of like
early Borg.
I like early Borg. The ones who actually abducted Locutus, you know, whole thing. When you get into First Contact, even though I love that movie, and you get into this whole, like, Borg Queen situation, I'm like, but you've lost me. But that's the great thing about the Borg from the early situation was that they were this sort of ununderstandable hive. And that's what made them creepy and scary and interesting.
No concept of individuality.
No concept of individuality. Yeah.
Death Star versus a Borg cube.
What?
Death Star versus a Borg cube.
Death Star versus a Borg cube.
You're looking at clone
No, this is the thing. I've had
the
this conversation.
Clone stormtroopers were not necessarily independent thinkers. That was what made...
Well, they were if you look at the animated series.
No. But see, this is the thing. I like that. First of all, the Borg cube is not as big, so that would be a disadvantage. However,
they can just zap a bunch of Borgs on the ship, and it's
they don't have transporter technology in Star Wars. I have not seen transporter technology, and that transporter technology, and also you can transport like a photon torpedo right into the.
Didn't they do that in Discovery? Like, yes, finally, somebody transported a photon torpedo to a ship. Finally.
Well, the other part, too, is that, like, they can scan for weakness.
Yeah.
And also, they can transport and start assimilating people. They do have shields.
They've never shown whether or not that's something, because they don't have transporter technology, whether that's able to go through.
Well,
it.
But remember, the Borg's shields can adapt. So you would think that their firing mechanisms can adapt as well.
You would think, but you don't know.
You don't know.
But we also don't know exactly how powerful the tractor beam that the Death Star has, too. And whether or not it could hold the Borg cube.
Well, you're going to take that whole Borg cube with all those Borg in there?
Well, no, you
Why would you
to,
want
but,
to grab
You would not. It'd be like, oh, well,
but if
let's get all of these roaches right into my house.
But if you used it to hold
that won't end well.
In position versus bringing it in.
Yeah.
And lock it in place where you...
I just haven't seen them try to do that, so I don't know.
That's an interesting battle.
I like it.
The Borg conquered how many different species?
All of them?
All of them.
Just about all
Except
of them.
Except the
so.
Humans.
But also remember, they did... Guinan's species was said to be very powerful.
They annihilated most of them.
And they annihilated them. So you can take that into account. Oh, I like this conversation. Did y'all ever decide if there was one-man fighters in Star Trek?
I think that we decided that there were strike forces.
Okay.
They were training academy cadets in Starfighter.
Right. The episode.
The unit that Wesley was a part of.
Yes, where if Troy was randomly on vacation when everybody was lying.
Yeah. So there's that. I don't know.
That's fair, though, is that that was an episode, so they were obviously training one-man star fighters, but you don't see them, like, anywhere in Star Trek. So, I don't know.
We don't need them. We just tractor beam and
we just
photon torpedo
Photon torpedo everything. Anyway.
MG.
And if it really comes down to it, you can cloak.
It's illegal technology.
I know, but if you're fighting...
Which is bunk. I don't know why, because the Romulans and the Klingons always misuse...
But there is cloaking technology in Star Wars, though. So if they were going head to... Isn't there? And I think if they were... I think if you're looking... Just because it's illegal, it doesn't matter. I mean, if you're going fight for fight, it doesn't matter. You can use cloaking technology against the Star Wars people. You have the technology, you can use
you
it.
Can
Who
use
cares
it
about
the
Prime
the
Directive? Screw the Prime Directive in this situation. You're dealing with Emperor Palpatine.
That's true. The Prime Directive got in the way a lot.
And no one ever followed it.
No.
However, there has been some math done, and evidently Kirk followed the Prime Directive more than Picard did. Been some sort of study, and they counted the times. And I don't know that there was there a Prime Directive? In TOS there wasn't.
No.
But as far as like violating, I think it was Prime Directive, but just violating like Starfleet code. Picard violated Starfleet code way more.
Well, they had a lot more years.
They did.
True.
That's true. That's true. Okay.
But Janeway did it a lot more than Picard.
Yeah, but she was she was rogue.
Yeah.
She was,
totally she was
out in the middle of
but she's like, let's get space. Home. Oh, cool, civilization, let's go check it out. But everyone's like, can we go home, please? And she's like, but there's this. And everyone takes
She's an explorer
detour.
At heart. That's who she is.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. So, Jen, it's going to rain a lot tonight. I'm just saying. I know, that's what we're going to do.
You think so?
She's not worried about water. That's her thing.
I know.
Our technology.
I'm just blaming her.
It's gonna rain a lot tonight because you drank
all day and I started yesterday.
I'm seeing a little lightning to this.
Oh yeah, it's supposed to like lightning thunder all the things. We've already started.
Is the wind gonna be really, really high?
Not too bad.
No, the wind's not gonna be too bad.
Okay, well,
it's gonna be lightning-y.
As long as the lightning doesn't strike my tent,
there's gonna be thunder. Well, lightning
because,
and the thunder.
It goes 60, 80, 90, 100, and then 80, 60 again. So
yeah.
That's from 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. So 7 a.m. it might still be raining.
Oh, I'm just going to stay in the Tahoe until it stops raining. And then we...
Yeah, I've heard only until like 8 a.m., so that would be really nice that I could just throw wet things. And
then we throw things, and then we go get breakfast.
Where are we going to get breakfast?
We will
good.
Decide.
before we go to sleep. I'm not joking. I think it's a great idea.
I love it. I love it.
What was that place in Magnolia we went? A Brazilian cafe.
I've still got bagels, so there's a non.
No, we're saying, like, if it's so raining that we just want to get out.
Yeah.
That we get out and go have breakfast somewhere.
We'll just
Magnolia
go
Cafe.
Sit down
Yeah, Magnolia Cafe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Magnolia Cafe, which is toward the Houston side, but not by much.
No. It's okay. And, that's all right.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it would be. And they have good breakfast from childhood memory.
You and I went there.
Yes, we did.
Are they as good as the Blue Bonnet Cafe?
I have never been to the Blue Bonnet Cafe.
Awesome. They have the best pies ever.
Well, there's Magnolia Cafe in Austin is very good as well.
Different.
I'm liking that it's not as cold as it was last night.
It was cold last night. About cold. This time.
For the first time in forever, everyone was like, I'm not talking to anyone.
I hope you enjoyed our RenFest campfire chat. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and Happy Holidays to you. Thank you so much for being Anomaly subscribers. We love you all, and we'll be back soon with a fresh new Anomaly in 2019. To celebrate, I'll leave you with a few of my favorite songs from Merry Trekmas, recorded by my good friend Rick Moyer. They are Have Yourself a Hairy Little Creature, We Wharf You a Merry Christmas, I'll Be Home on Voyager, and The 12 Days of Starfleet. You can find his parody songs, including this album, over at christrocks.com/parody. Would you do us a favor? Tell your friends about Anomaly and help us grow our audience by rating our show in the Apple Podcast app. You can write to Anomaly at girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks with a Z at gmail.com. Send us a voice memo at that address or call our voicemail line at 432-363-4742.
Have yourself a hairy little creature. Let your tribbles mate. From now on, that purr will make you feel real great. Have yourself a hairy little creature. There's no eyes or ears. Tribbles keep on giving all throughout the years. Oh, here they are, just a ball of fur, not a him or her, just it. Klingons hate, but they are great. A must-have on my Christmas list. Through the years, they multiply together as the Quadrotriticale allows. Hang your tribble on the highest star base somehow. And have yourself a hairy little creature now. Here they are, just a ball of fur, not a him or her, just it. Klingons hate, but hey, they're great. A must-have on my Christmas list. Through the years, they multiply together as the Quadro Triticale allows. Hang your tribble on the highest star base somehow. Yourself a hairy little creature now.
Friend, you pig. The child put the trim on your oven. You see his scar on his butt.
We wharf you a Merry Christmas. We wharf you a Merry Christmas. We wharf you a Merry Christmas and a Kapla New Year. Bring us some Rocade blood pie. Oh, bring us some Rocade blood pie. Oh, bring us some Rocade blood pie and a side of fresh gawk. Gawk is always best when served live. We'll all go before the council. We'll all go before the council. We'll all go before the council and petition the chancellor. Oh, bring us the sword of Kalis. Oh, bring us the sword of Kalis. Oh, bring us the sword of Kalis and a Klingon dagger. We won't go till we get
vengeance.
We won't go till we get
vengeance.
We won't go till we get
vengeance.
And our blood oath is done. A batleth we bring to you and your house. A batleth with blood wine and a Kapla New Year.
We wharf you a Merry Christmas. We wharf you a Merry Christmas. We wharf you a Merry Christmas and a Kapla New Year. We wharf you a Merry Christmas. We wharf you a Merry Christmas. We wharf you a Merry Christmas and a Kapla New Year. We wharf you a Merry Christmas and a Kapla New Year.
We're alone in an uncharted part of the galaxy. We've already made some friends here and some enemies. We have no idea of the dangers we're going to face. But one thing is clear. Both crews are going to have to work together if we're to survive.
I'll be home on Voyager from the Delta Quadrant. I'll try please have friends and let's make amends and fireworks above the bridge in the sky. Reginald will find us through subspace wormhole things. I'll be home on Voyager if only in my dreams.
Somewhere along this journey, we'll find a way back. Mr. Paris, set a course for home.
minus that Neelix guy. We left him on an asteroid field with a lady friend that caught his eye. Starfleet ships will find us, breaking from transwarp. On the first day of Christmas, Starfleet gave to me an honorary academy degree. On the second day of Christmas, Starfleet gave to me two dilithium crystals and an honorary academy degree. On the third day of Christmas, Starfleet gave to me three holodeck visits, two dilithium crystals, and an honorary academy degree. On the fourth day of Christmas, Starfleet gave to me four hats like Guinan's, three holodeck visits, two dilithium crystals, and an honorary academy degree. On the fifth day of Christmas, Starfleet gave to me five huge pack legs
that make us go.
Four hats like Guinan's, three holodeck visits, two dilithium crystals, and an honorary academy degree. On the sixth day of Christmas, Starfleet gave to me six Type A phases, five huge pack legs.
Can you make it go?
Four hats like Guinan's, three holodeck visits, two dilithium crystals, and an honorary academy degree. On the seventh day of Christmas, Starfleet gave to me seven replicators, six Type A phases, five huge pack legs.
He is smart.
Four hats like Guinan's, three holodeck visits, two dilithium crystals, and an honorary academy degree. On the eighth day of Christmas, Starfleet gave to me eight ractogenos, seven replicators, six Type A phasers, five huge pack legs.
We like power.
Four hats like Guinan's, three holodeck visits, two dilithium crystals, and an honorary academy degree. On the ninth day of Christmas, Starfleet gave to me nine Vulcan mind melts, eight ractogenos, seven replicators, six Type A phasers, five huge hack legs.
We are far from home.
Four hats like Guinan's, three holodeck visits, two dilithium crystals, and an honorary academy degree. On the 10th day of Christmas, Starfleet gave to me 10 chocolate sundaes, 9 Vulcan mind melts, 8 ractogenos, 7 replicators, 6 Type A phasers, 5 huge pack legs. 4 hats like Guinan's, 3 holodeck visits, 2 dilithium crystals, and an honorary academy degree. On the 11th day of Christmas, Starfleet gave to me 11 batless swinging, 10 chocolate sundaes, 9 Vulcan mind melts, 8 ractogenos, 7 replicators, 6 Type A phasers, 5 huge pack legs.
We are not strong.
4 hats like Guinan's, 3 holodeck visits, 2 dilithium crystals, and an honorary academy degree. On the 12th day of Christmas, Starfleet gave to me
12, space-time continuum 11, Batlas swinging 10, chocolate sundaes 9, Vulcan mind melt 8, Ractogeno 7, replicator 6, type A phasers 5, huge Batlas.
Our ship is the Mondor.
Oh, that's like Guinan's 3, holodeck physics 2, delithium crystals, and an honorary